If you have your Bibles, Philippians chapter 4, I trust that tonight will be a real blessing to you. It's a great passage of Scripture. I want to draw your attention, if you would please, to Philippians chapter 4. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, we were in verse 5 and 6. I want you to notice verse 5, let your moderation or your gentleness or your graciousness be known to all men, or your ability to be fair and reasonable. Just that no sharp edges, no pointedness. Let your grace be known. And then verse 6, he says, be careful for nothing. If you remember last week, the idea here is careful for nothing is to be divided into parts. It's miram naos, the original word. And if you remember, we look back in Luke chapter 10, and Jesus said, Martha, Martha, thou art troubled and careful about many things. It's the same word. You're frayed in your mind. You have many things that are in your mind. Your mind has many parts to it. And then he said, and Mary, excuse me, and then he looked at her and he said, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall never be taken away from her. So if you look at the things of our life, all of us that we have, all of us have many parts. But what is it you think on? Notice if you would be careful for nothing. Don't think about all the parts that you have to deal with in life. Don't think about them to the point where they trouble you, where they cause you distraction. And that's what he's talking. That's the idea of merim nao. It's to be distracted. They're careful and troubled about many things. So the idea looks at Mary and said, you've got a lot of, remember she looked at Jesus and said, look, Jesus, I got all these things to do. I got to get the tea on the table and the potatoes are in the oven and all these different things. And of course, those things didn't happen then. But if you can imagine, she's still fixing meal. And she said, would you tell Mary to help me? And Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet and she was just loving the Lord. She was just consumed with his presence. And Jesus said, she's chosen that good part. What he's not saying is you don't need to feed anybody. He's just saying that the parts of this life that we all have to deal with cannot take front and center in your life. You learn to deal with each one of them in their place and trust the Lord for the result. Don't be careful. Be careful for nothing. And he's actually saying to her, don't worry about any of the parts. I've got this. You won't find Mary ever worried about anything except that Jesus knows she loves him. That's it. She goes and finds that alabaster box. What can I give to Jesus that he would know I love him? And, you know, he's done so much for me. And she takes the alabaster box and she breaks it open. And everybody says, what a waste that is. And he says, no, everywhere the gospel is preached, what she's done is going to be told too. Why? Because right after salvation is dedication, love for Christ. That's the part that Mary chose. Now, don't get me wrong, Martha was a great Christian. It's mentioned in Scripture, but she worried a lot. Notice, if you would, in verse 6, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about any of the parts, but in everything, and he gives her the secret, but in everything by prayer. Prayer is a simple request to the Lord. Lord, could you help with this? Lord, could I leave this to you? Would you take care of this in my life? Lord, I don't know about my job next week or next month. Lord, would you take care of this? I'll leave it in your hands. And then he says, by prayer and supplication. Supplication is desperate prayer. Now, understand this tonight. Everybody in this room cannot pray desperate prayers every minute of your life. It's not humanly possible. You'd wear out quickly. The passion would overwhelm you. But there are things that come in your life that cause you to pray with this passion. Loss of a job, a sick child, a health issue, someone you're concerned about. And then your prayer goes to supplication. It goes to agonizing prayer. You find that Jesus went up on the mountain to pray to his Father, but never said he prayed sweat drops of blood until he came to the greatest difficulty of his life, and that is, Lord, is there any other way? Let this cup pass from me, but not my will, thine be done. The most passionate prayer that's ever been prayed, Lord, if it's possible, let me miss the cross, but Lord, not my will, thine be done. He didn't want to become sin for us. Supplication. So we learn when we've got a burden, we've got a part that's bothering us. Now, I want you to notice here in just a minute. He says, be careful, be worried about, anxious, where it troubles you for nothing. How do we take care of it? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Now, why is that added? Thanksgiving. Because God makes no mistakes. He said, you can thank me for the things that you're looking at and you're burdened about because I've already got them figured out. And notice he says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The thanksgiving that, no, I already got it. I've already got this. Now notice he says, and the next verse 7, we didn't get to last week, and the peace of God. Peace is a state of no concern over trouble. It's not the place without trouble. It's the place with no care about the trouble, no anxiety about the trouble. Now, we can all live there if we think right and pray right, but not if we don't trust him enough to say, Lord, I thank you what's happening in my life. I don't understand it, but Lord, I thank you, and I'll trust you. Notice what he says. He says, and the peace of God, that place, and literally peace is reine, it's to join in with the Lord about what's going on. In other words, there's an inward calm, even though the storm around you rages. Can anybody give me one example of Jesus with peace? The storm. The storm is raging. The boat's full of water. They're about to go down. And they go over to Jesus Christ. And then this is the example for us. And Jesus, carest thou not that we perish? Aren't you troubled? Aren't you worried that we're going to perish? The answer is no. Jesus was never worried. In the face of death, he was not worried. He trusted his Father. He poured his heart out to the Lord and turned and went into the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing Judas was coming. But there was peace. So you and I can face our greatest turmoil with peace. It's a level of comfort. It's a level with no fears because there's someone watching out for you. Can you think of another place where a great Old Testament prophet had peace in the midst of great fear? Daniel. They throw him in the lion's den. And the king comes up the door and says, oh, Daniel, is thy God able? Oh, king, don't be afraid. Because innocence was found in me, my God has shut the lion's mouths. Now, I can tell you probably none of us, even maybe Daniel, went into the lion's den without a few fears. But the more we trust the Lord, just remember, when you're facing trouble, Jesus was asleep. And his disciple says, don't you care? Aren't you troubled? The answer is no. We don't have to be troubled about it. And we pray about it, we supplicate about it, and we do what Mary did. We just be enamored with Jesus. We just love him. To the point where our vision and our infatuation with him just sort of takes all of the issues away because we know him. He is able. He can take care of us. That's the reason Jesus could sleep in the hull of the ship, and that's the reason Daniel could sleep in the lion's den. Because the Lord is there. And when you and I have done the right thing, we have to learn to train ourselves not to be careful, not to be troubled. Notice, the word is in verse number 8, and these are connected even though they don't look like it. Notice, finally, brethren, excuse me, back up, I'm going to go to 7, and missed one thought. And shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The word keep is the word to guard. So they'll guard your mind. What will this trust in the Lord, this prayer and supplication, it puts a guard beside your mind. Now notice this. There's still a responsibility that we have. Look in verse 8. This is a verse you have to look at the end of it before you can start through the beginning of it. Notice this. Says, finally, brethren, look at the very last phrase of it. Second last phrase of it. It says, whatsoever things are good, report if there any virtue, if there be praise. Here's the last phrase. Think on these things. Now, the word think, legizomai, is to reckon or to account of these things, to consider these things. I want you to take the time to cause your mind to dwell on these things. So how do you have victory in the midst of the storm? Learn to train your mind to dwell on things that are right. Learn to have your mind dwell on things, notice, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, the things that don't need to be hidden, they're true. kind of a fun word. Literally is without hiding. It's in the open. It's truth. You never have to hide the truth. So he said, think about the things you don't have to hide. Now, if you want peace in your heart, how many of you have ever maybe told a lie and you were troubled about somebody to find out about it? Yeah, you remember, oh my goodness, I don't want to. There's where care comes from. Because we didn't think about always telling the truth. We didn't think about things we don't need to hide. So if we do the right things, we naturally come into a position where we can pray and trust the Lord. And the cares of this life kind of fade away. How many Christians, folks, how many of us fret and worry? Yes, we pray a little bit. We might even supplicate a little bit. But we don't trust him. We don't train our minds to think right. Now, notice he said in verse 6, in the peace of God. Verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. That peace keeps you. That peace, that calmness of your heart, that you know the Lord, that place of absolute tranquility. It is a place where there is no concern. And so for us to get there, do you realize if you're not of a peaceful heart, you'll have a hard time going to sleep? Or you may have a hard time staying asleep. You wake up. How many have ever awakened early in the morning and your mind's just racing? Anybody ever done that? Okay. He said, the peace that passes all understanding. All these different things. And I'm embarrassed to say it, but, I normally get up early anyway. But I don't normally get up at 2 o'clock in the morning or 1:30. And then your mind just can't turn it off. There's a lack of peace. Now, it doesn't come quickly. But you and I can train our minds and our hearts to trust the Lord. That's part of the reason Jesus went to the mountain to pray often. And as he prayed all night, he comes back down. He goes back up the mountain to pray. And he goes to pray. And he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. Why? Because he's sharing with his Heavenly Father. Those potential burdens, he never had them because he had the answer in his heart. You and I have to learn to give the answer to the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I don't have the answer, but I'll trust you with the problem. And then the Lord Jesus gives us this settled peace if we trust him. And then you'll notice we begin to say, Lord, I want to think right. Lord, help me to think right. I would remind you, he says in verse number 7, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The simple part we have is what we think about. You can't pray and say, Lord, give me peace in my heart while I think about the wicked. You can't say, Lord, give me peace in my heart while I think about it. I sure would like to, I hope, Lord, you pay that guy back. Notice, if you would, he says, things that are true and things that are honest. Honest is that which is the things that are of great character. Literally, the root is to worship, is to revere things that you hold in high esteem. So when we come in to pray and worship the Lord, we hold him up in high esteem. We worship him. So he said, things that are honest, things that you hold in high esteem. You hold things up that are honest. So you think about things that are honest, things that don't need to be hidden, things that you don't have to hide, things that you value a great deal, that have worth to the Lord, things that are honest. How do we know something is honest? If the Lord values it. Is purity and morality something that's honest before the Lord? Sure it is. Is integrity of heart honesty? Yes, it is. It's whenever you value what the Lord thinks more than what you want. And so there are certain things that you say, I can't do that. It's not honest. There's a value that you put on things that the Lord puts on. So he says, think about those things. And notice the next phrase, and I love this part. He says, think things that are honest and things that are just, things that are according to what God said. Just is the word dikaios, righteous. Things that are according to law. You're not going to have a lot of peace if you think about driving, how you can drive 100 miles an hour on Route 7 and get away with it. Not going to be a lot of peace there. You can't think about how to break the law. You have to think about how to observe the law, how to do things right. Notice with you would, and then he uses the word things that are lovely. It's a cool word, prosphileo, things that you tend toward loving, things that are acceptable, things that are pleasing, things that are lovely, things that you know in the eyes of the Lord are well-pleasing, things that are lovely. Notice with me, if you would, and he uses another word, good report. whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things, I missed a word, things that are pure. And this is the word for things that are without mixture. They have nothing in the world in them. They're pure. That's what you look for in a man or in a wife when you get married. Someone's pure. Someone that doesn't have the mixture of the world in them. They're hard to find, but pure people can find pure people. Think about those things. And notice this, if you would. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. Good report's two words put together. Tell me what you can think about this. Famos. Famous. You, famos. Good famous, good report. Something that's famous and good, Jesus. What's something that's good famous? Someone that does what's right, have a good report, have a good testimony. Think about those things, good famous things. There's a lot of famous things. People, well, famous is the word for everybody knows them. But he says, only the things that are good famous do I want you to think about. So there's a lot of famous things we ought not to think about. There's a lot of things, so he says, of good report, that which is reported well. Think about those things. There was a great missions conference here last week. Think about that. There were some great missionaries. They've done a great work in Cambodia. Think about that. You know, how could I do something to be a help? I was really overwhelmed and kind of amazed at Brother and Mrs. Burke. It'd been a long time since they'd been here. When I'd see that, he said, we rented this room and it was empty. I remember seeing that. It was empty. And then he shows you the picture with it filled up, and he can't really witness very hard. I mean, it still struck me when she said, yeah, it was, you know, I gave somebody a track and found out that they had a Muslim family. And I said, could you give me that track back? Why? Because I want to witness again. And I don't want you to die for it. Now, would you like to come, you know, to the community center? Would you like to come to this? Or could you come and sit down and us? I got an English class going on. Oh, I'd love to come to the English class. So she's coming to an English class, and you begin to witness to them. So, in other words, there's a different way to think about it. Wow. I see a missionary that's been there for 31 years, and I say, now that's a good famous. And so you know what? When I'm talking about with my grandchildren, who's somebody I want you to look up to? And I could think of all these ball players and this person. No, not that. That's a good famous, the Burks. Think of things that are good report. See, if we do more of that, we're going to have peace in our heart when our children understand and growing. They have a right respect. Someone that has a godly marriage, a godly home, a godly husband, a godly wife, of good report, a good famous. Boy, I tell you what, I want to be like that. I want to be like this. All of a sudden, that good famous begins to affect your thinking. Tonight, think of things that are of good report. And young people, everybody in this room, do not let your mind think about things. Control your mind. And remember, it's like cause your mind to dwell on the things that are right. All of us in this room, you think about something. If we were to take our mind, no, watch this. If we were to take Mary's mind and we were to take Martha's mind. We take Martha's mind, she's got a lot of things in her mind. And she's thinking about all of them, each one of them individual. And so she's troubled. He got Mary. She's got the same exact issues. But she's disciplined her mind, watch this, to dwell, think about constantly, consistently, Jesus. It doesn't mean that she doesn't think, I'll need to help Mary in a few minutes. But right now, wow, Jesus is here. I need to go do this and I need to go do that. You think Mary just sat at Jesus' feet her whole life and did nothing else? Not on your life. But at the appropriate time, she learned to train her mind to dwell on him. And that's what we have to do. Dwell on things of good report. Dwell on pure things. That's why you can't think about things that are dirty, things that are wrong, things that the world might think about, things that other singles might think about, things that other married people might think about, that are at work, husbands and wives, things that other teenagers might think about, that you hear them talk about. You can't let your mind dwell on those things. The secret to peace that passes all understanding and the secret to a blessed heart. Now notice if you would, he says, if there be in verse number 8, he says, things that are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any moral excellence, if there's anything else that you can think of that's morally excellent, it's above accepted, it's something superior that the Lord approves of. He said, notice, if there be any praise, if there's anything that's going to bring you credit from the Lord, think on these things. From verse 6 to 8 is mind discipline. Be careful for nothing. Don't let your mind dwell on the parts. Let your mind dwell on good things. and especially the best thing, Jesus. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind. Now, how many of you tonight would like to have the guard of heaven watching out for your mind and thoughts? I would. Well, you know what this is going to take? It's going to take you saying that I'll train my mind on what to dwell on. Tonight, what is it your mind dwells on? Now, I want you to listen to this. You can dwell on anything too much. But when you take Jesus and you dwell on him, and so, Lord Jesus, help me to think about right things, pure things, honest things, truthful things. I don't want to have to hide anything in my life. You know, one of the great principles of marriage is total honesty. Never, ever have anything hidden. Susan made me promise before she passed away that I would always tell her whatever the doctors say. So the doctor called me out. Jeremy and I, they talked to us. I had to go back in the room. Now, thankfully, she was not, I don't know that she could really reason all the way through it. But in my heart, in order to be honest, I had to go back in the room and say, honey, they said that, you know, and I began to tell her. It didn't change anything. But there's a certain integrity that a husband and wife should always have, that children and their parents should always have. And you have to dwell on, Lord, help me to be truthful to my parents, truthful to my wife. Help me to be honest. You have to dwell on those things, or you'll not be honest. You have to dwell on good famous, or you'll talk about bad people, or you'll talk bad about people. So you and I have to learn to think on these things. And then you'll notice in verse number 9, he says, those things which you have both learned. In other words, there's some things everybody knows. You've already learned them. It's something that God has already taught you. You've already got those things. Okay? Those things which you have both learned and received. Okay? You've been taught them maybe from your parents at school, whatever, and you've received them. You've accepted them. You've agreed with them and heard and seen and do in me. The things you said, look, you've seen me do some things. He said, those things, think on these things. Think on these things, those things which you have both learned and received and heard, seen in me, do. I want you to do the things. Remember, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He said, the things that you've seen me to do that are right things, he said, do them. And notice what he says, and the peace of God should be with you. So tonight, let's dwell on things that are right. Let's look at people that do what is right. Now, that's what he's saying. Notice, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. The things that I have done that are right, do those things. You do them. Folks, it's the reason why a father wants to live right. So you don't have to look at your children and say, no, do this. I didn't, but you need to. So husbands, fathers, do right. Paul did, so he could say, the things you've seen in me, do. Isn't that a great place to live? And he says, then the peace of God, that settledness will fill your heart. You'll notice that Philippians, Paul is writing to Philippians a lot about peace. He couldn't take away the turmoil that ran, the trouble that was around them, the testing that was in their lives, Nero was right in this time of Philippians. He couldn't take away the fear that was potentially in their hearts. Catastrophe that was all around them. But he could tell them how to have peace in their heart so they could live in the midst of fear and total chaos with calm. And tonight, so can you and I. Financial chaos, emotional chaos, we can live in calm. And the two examples I just want you to remember is the storm. Don't you care, Lord? And he's asleep. Total peace. But Jesus only dwelt on that which is good. And his Heavenly Father. And then Daniel. Does anybody recall what Daniel did three times a day? Went to his bedroom, opened up his window, got down and said, Lord, I want to talk to you right now. What a Christian that was. And then he had a prayer that he wanted to know what the future of Israel was. And he fasted and prayed for 21 days till the Lord sent the answer. A prayer warrior and a supplicator. And God couldn't deny him. And the Lord said to Daniel, thou art greatly beloved. It's no wonder he went to the lion's den. God protected and shut the lion's mouths. Because he lived in peace. How is it you've heard the law change? You pray and you die? And he goes to his bed and opens it up because there's peace in his heart. Tonight, do you have the peace of God in your heart? That lack of fear over the parts of this life. Learn to dwell on Jesus Christ and that which is right. Let's bow our heads for the prayer tonight. The peace of God. Do you have that tonight? We're going to have a word of prayer. Maybe you're struggling with something. Maybe there's a fear in your heart. Tonight, if you're here and there's the old devil's got you afraid of something. And you say, Pastor, I am concerned about something in my life overly. I feel like I think on it too much. Would you pray with me about it tonight? I want victory over this thing. The Lord said, be careful for nothing. But there are some things in my life that I do have some fears. Would you pray for me? Would you slip up in all over the building? Yeah, that's right. All over. Yes, yes, yes. Could I encourage you to just come to maybe this altar and say, Lord Jesus, you said I could bring this to you. Would you begin to help me to train my mind to dwell on you and not on the parts? We're going to have a word of prayer or stand to sing. If you need to come tonight, you have a Savior that loves you more than the world. He'll help you. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts tonight. You've done more for us than we could ask or really even imagine. I pray that you'd do one more thing. Help us to learn to dwell on you and not on the parts. In your precious name we pray. Amen.